From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Boomer and Gio,
BT and Sal,
Kevin and Tiki,
Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on the Fan.
On the Fan.
On the Fan.
On the Fan.
It's WFAN Daily, hosted by Pete Hoffman.
What's up, everybody? It's another episode of WFAN Daily with yours truly, Pete Hoffman. That's right. And if you just finished up what I just finished up, we just watched two old veterans put up a show on Thursday Night Football, one of the more entertaining games of the season so far between the Bengals and the Steelers, as Joe Flacco leads the Cincinnati Bengals to a 33-31 victory over the Steelers. And all I could think of is, wow, if only those guys would ever be here in a Jets uniform. Oh, wait a second. They both were, and they both were awful. And they were both terrible experiments. But the reality is, you look at both of those teams. You look at the Steelers, and you look at the Bengals, okay? First, let's take the Steelers. No matter what you want to say about Mike Tomlin, no matter what you want to say about, you know, since Roethlisberger left, the Pittsburgh Steelers haven't been the same. The one thing that has been the same is consistency, sustainability. They have been one of the top AFC teams for like a decade, maybe more. Mike Tomlin continues to push this team to. They're basically like the New York Yankees of football. He pushes them back into the playoffs consistently. And it doesn't make a difference who the quarterback is. Last year was Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. This year it's Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't make a difference. They continue to find ways to be successful enough to get into the playoffs. And honestly, for most teams, that's all you're looking for is like, give us a shot. Give us a chance. And now Aaron Rodgers has come here to a team that is well put together. Like, no matter what you want to say about, oh, well, they're not as good as they once were. Sure. But they're well put together. They're well coached, right? Like, you want to sit there and say Mike Tomlin hasn't won anything with them since Roethlisberger. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are well coached, and they show it week in and week out. Very rarely do they get blown out. They're always in tight games of some sort. And like you see just now, you know, they even though they may not have the most offensively gifted players, they find ways to win games. Today it didn't work out because of the other side of the field with Joe Flacco, but we'll get to him in a second. It's consistency. So you see a guy like Aaron Rodgers, and all of a sudden, like, wow, he can still play football. What the hell did we witness the past 2 years? Obviously, the injury aside for the first year, but last year, Aaron Rodgers didn't look half as good. understand there were two interceptions today. One was a little lucky one. I mean, let's be serious. The one that was out of bounds, so be it. But four touchdowns today by Aaron Rodgers and just sustainability on the offense, and he's looked good. They've won games, and it reminds you that the Jets are so far away. And this is what this game reminded me, is how far away the New York Jets are from relevancy when it comes down to actual football. Like newsworthy stuff, no, they're always in the news for something stupid. You know, whether it's something stupid that somebody says, whether it's they make a stupid move, whether they trade somebody, whether they cut somebody, whether they hire a new coach, it doesn't make a difference what they do. They're always in the news, but not for the right things like performance-based, right? Like we haven't seen a legitimate New York Jets team take the field in a good 10, 15 years. Like it feels now the Ryan Fitzpatrick Jets. That's kind of it. And they still miss the playoffs. That's the last Jet team that I'm like, oh my God, they had a chance. They had pieces together. And they've fallen so far by the wayside. But again, this just goes back to, this is why you need to either A, like they just fired Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas last year. The choices were bring in somebody brand new that you have no idea what they're going to do, and you have to go through the ups and downs no matter what, or bring in a veteran that you know can make something work. And I got to be honest with you, I said the other day, I'm going to say it again. Maybe you don't fire Aaron Glenn, but how about you call Bill Belichick and say, come here and help us. Leave UNC. Come here. Less pressure. You don't even have to coach games anymore. Just help inside the organization. Make it into a winning group. Kind of like what Bill Parcells started to do towards the end, right? Like Bill Parcells wasn't coaching games, but he was like a consultant of some sort, you know? Started being like, you know, GM type of feel. That's what Bill Belichick should be doing, because at least you saw him with the Patriots for the longest time build something special. And yes, you could sit there and say, well, he had Tom Brady, but Tom Brady didn't play defense. And if I'm correct, Tom Brady didn't pass himself the ball. And most of those players offensively were no one special. Maybe Gronkowski, obviously Gronkowski, Randy Moss. Okay, that's fine. Wes Welker had his moments too. Okay, there's a couple of them that I can give you. But for the most part, we're talking about guys that are like on the back end. Like they're almost like the Mets pitching rotation this year. They weren't really supposed to be good. They just turned out being good. And that's just not really the Mets pitching rotation this year because they were bad. It was more like the Mets pitching rotation last year. But that being said, let's move on. The fact is, that's what Bill Belichick knew how to build a team. This Jets organization right now, they're all guessing. They're all guessing that Aaron Glenn has the right touch, has the right feel. And that's what happens when you go into a rookie head coach with Darren Mooji, who, by the way, I don't think anybody wanted, right? Like, this is when Gettleman went and drafted Daniel Jones. Well, someone was going to take him. Hi. Who? Who was going to take Daniel Jones? No offense. He's doing great right now this year at Indianapolis. No, you know, so it doesn't make a difference about one last shot, but like, who was drafting him in the first round? I still waiting to hear who else was going to draft him. The only team that I know that was going to draft him was the New York Giants, and they did. So, like, don't tell me that Mooji and Glenn are going to work because they sold you on something. I've never seen it before. I don't know what they sold you on. I'm not convinced. So far, what I've seen through six games is awful. It's disgusting. It's fireable, to be fair. And part of it is you need a new quarterback. Like, we've realized that Justin Fields and Tyrod Taylor are not it. You got to bring somebody else in. Because I think at this point in time, the most important thing for Jets fans is if this is going to work, we need to see it. We need to see some sort of success. And in order to have success, you need to win a game, at least one or two, right? If you can't, if you go winless this season, and you, like, let's be honest, even if the Giants somehow, the Jets somehow, they beat Denver last week in London, and they won that sloppy game, and you know, Denver never kicked that field goal, whatever the case is, and they won 11-10. You think the Jets fans are like, whoa, look what we got here. This is great. No, they'd be saying, this team sucks. We just blew a win off of that. They need to see a convincing win. And right now, with this, the way this team is situated, it's not happening. So, again, Pittsburgh Steelers, Aaron Rodgers, that was the right fit. That's where you take a veteran quarterback. That's how you go and approach a season where it's like, we're still in a rebuilding phase, maybe, but we have certain things lined up that a quarterback can just plug and play. The Jets have no system. They have no idea what they're doing. They've never had an idea of what they're doing. Every couple years, they change philosophies. So it doesn't make a difference who comes in. Yeah, no wonder why Aaron Rodgers last year came in, or a couple years ago came in and said, this is what I'm going to do and follow. And everyone's like, okay, because there is no system. So we're stuck with Glenn right now. I don't know for how long. But if they're going to continue this course, they just have to see it through. And that sucks, because you're going to go through a lot of growing pains over the next few years. But if you ever want some level of success, you're going to have to go through the bumps and bruises and just hope at the back end of it, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, sort of like Brian Daboll. Like Brian Daboll and the Giants were able to go and get Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo, and they were able to bring in some good free agents that they just restructured, by the way, Holland and Adebo, just restructured to maybe open up some cap space for some other people coming in here. Who knows? But the point is there's a light at the end of the tunnel now with Daboll and Shane. Though you don't want to hear that. If you're a Giants fan, you don't. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Now, on the other side, so that was the Steelers side. Then you got the Bengals side with Joe Flacco, who basically looked half dead the last few years he was playing when he was with the Jets. Forgot he didn't want to be there. And think about this. Why do people not want to play for the New York Jets? Because it's a debacle. Only young idiots want to play football for the New York Jets, or guys who are desperate to get a starting job or desperate to play football. That's it. Nobody in their right mind wants to go to the you know, Florham Park and go, I want to wear the white and green. I'm sorry, even Aaron Rodgers the past 2 years. He's the only place he was going to be able to play football was with the Jets. That's it. Nobody else wanted him. Nobody else was trading for him. So, like, you could sit there and say, oh, well, that's not true at all. You know, Aaron Rodgers wanted to come. Yeah, because the Packers they got the best offer from the Jets, and they weren't going to give him to anybody in the NFC. So, yeah. Of course he went to the Jets. Don't make it like, oh, we got someone who wanted to come here. Yeah, some 40-year-old veteran that was unfortunately not able to fix a deep, deep, deep problem. Bengals, on the other hand, their biggest problem is their quarterback got hurt in week one. And you got a defense that is Swiss cheese. But the one thing that is really amazing about this team is their offensive weapons. And Joe Flacco was able to do something that he just continues to do year after year, except for with the Jets. Put up three touchdowns, 342 yards in the air, looked amazing, had the soft touch, was able to find Ja'Marr Chase. And again, that's what happens when you have special players. When you have special players, most veteran quarterbacks can make it work. Just heard them talk with, on the Prime postgame show. And they're like, how does it feel to play with these guys? It's like, it's unbelievable, because you just throw a ball to them and it could be a duck, and they'll go and catch that ball. They'll find a way to grip it, grab it, bring it down and hold it. And that's just amazing, you know, and he's lucky, sure, but it's impressive, man. And it's like, hey, where was this with the Jets? Oh yeah, it was upside down. It was Zach Wilson. It was chaos. Nobody wants to deal with chaos. Joe Flacco knows what he's going to get into going to the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm playing a few games. I get out of Cleveland. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, Joe Burrow will be back before you know it. No big deal. No sweat off of my ass. And he had a shootout with Aaron Rodgers. It was a fantastic game. And they ended up winning 33-31 and actually put the Bengals back into, you know, a playoff position, but a contending position. Like, they're 3-4 now. This team was close to being, you know, Jet-like level with Jake Browning, and now they're 3-4, and it's like, hey, we can win some games. Why not? Why not us?
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
So, you know, the more you look at these teams in the NFL, you look and say, what is different about every other team compared to the Jets? Sustainability and talent. We could talk about Garrett Wilson. We could talk about Sauce Gardner. We could talk about Breece Hall. But Ja'Marr Chase is legitimate, like a top wide receiver in the league. T. Higgins is the top wide receiver in the league. Okay? I love Garrett Wilson. And he still will put up 1,000 yards this year. Is he a top wide receiver in the league? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think Sauce Gardner is a top cornerback in the league. That's for sure. These guys that the Jets bring in, that they're like, oh, these are super talented guys. Super, you know, what a great. All we need is a quarterback, or all we need is one more piece. My ass. If it was that simple, then Aaron Glenn would make this team gel, and it would be voila. It's not put together well. It's just not. And let's get that. Let's all say that together, that this team is not very talented, unfortunately. Now, there were some other things going on, like, for example, the Blue Jays beat up on the Mariners now. So it's tied up at 2, and the person who pitched on the mound is none other than Max Scherzer, who got the win. 5 2/3 innings, 5 strikeouts, a bunch of walks. But the biggest story that I noticed was in the 5th inning, when I think he walked somebody or gave up a hit, and Schneider, the coach, walked out to talk to Max Scherzer. And he basically screamed in his face and was like, do not pull me. I'm here. Do not pull me. Whatever he said to him. And I go, Max Scherzer, first of all, Max Scherzer is somebody that at this point in time, being a Met fan, and him, what he did with the Mets, it was lackluster. It wasn't fun. It wasn't great to watch. It was very limited, and it was disappointing. So now when I see him, I feel all of that combined together. You know, hey, remember when he got, I think he got the, was there a pine tar situation? I think he even had at one point in time. We've gone through the works with Max Scherzer in the small period of time he was a New York Met. I can't stand him. Yet he's in the ALCS pitching his balls off for the Blue Jays. But I look at him screaming like a maniac, and I go, they need to make a documentary or a movie about Max Scherzer. They do. And there's one person, I think, who should play Max Scherzer. And it's none other than Tim Robinson. That is, now, if you don't know Tim Robinson, you probably heard the gifs and the memes of like, I did my part. I did my part. I did my part. And then it goes to Tim Robinson. I didn't do shit. Well, that's Tim Robinson. He is a comedian, but that is, and he's crazy. Like, that's his whole character. Every movie he is in, Tim Robinson basically plays somebody who is, you know, over the top, outrageous, and goes crazy over this dumbest, stupidest, smallest thing. And it just gets blown up into an unbelievable. There's a new show called, like, I think The Angry Chair or something like that, or whatever it is. I watched it. I couldn't believe they made this show, but it is outrageous. And it is basically a show that He sits down in a chair, it breaks, and the next, his life is basically ruined because of this chair. And there's deep, dark secrets and all this other stuff. Anyway, the point is, he's a nutbag. So is Max Scherzer. This, I think, is a perfect role for Tim Robinson. I think it's a must happen. Like, they don't even have to make a movie. They just need to make a skit of Tim Robinson acting like Max Scherzer for like one inning. Could be an SNL skit. It could be whatever. I think that is worthy enough of our time, because the person that Tim Robinson plays in movies, in TV shows, is basically Max Scherzer. And then finally, there was also one more game that I really want to focus on. Islanders, and I know the Devils won, which, by the way, Jacob Markstrom, who already got hurt, is out for like a bunch of weeks. They bring in their backup goalie in Jared Allen's the fighter. Jake Allen, he's been pretty much flawless. He's only given up a few goals this season, gave up one goal today. He gave up a goal in the first game he played, but the problem was that he was hurt. It got pulled, had cramps, but Markstrom was able to come in and save that game. But somehow in that game, at the end of that game, he got hurt, and now it's on Jake Allen to basically be the starting goalie for the next couple, like basically a month and a half, I think, until Markstrom can come back. But now the Devils win again. They won 3-1 over the Panthers, did 3-1 on the season. The Islanders finally win their first game of the season. Guess who they beat? The Oilers. They scored 4 goals against the Oilers, and they are now 4-2. But the New York Rangers, and this is, again, another frustrating game. It took 8 periods for the Rangers to finally put a puck on the back of the net. In the third period, they finally got a goal from Parsinian. And just listening to Steve Valiquette at the end of the post game, you could hear the anger he had towards this Rangers offense right now. The defense is clearly good. We're talking about in 6 games, they're 2-3-1. So 2 wins, 3 losses, and 1 loss in overtime. So they lost 4 games. They're basically 2-4. The overtime loss, whatever. It is what it is. But they've lost 4 games. They've given up a total between Shesterkin and Quick. In 6 games, they've given up 6 goals. That's what they've given up. One of them was in overtime, which was tonight. They've given up 3 other goals as well, because you'll see there's a tally of 9 goals. 3 of those were empty netters. So really, 9 in total in 6 games. But it's just really 6 goals that the goalies have given up, that the goalies have actually allowed to go past them. That's it. And they are 2-4, basically. 2-4. They basically allowed a goal a game. And they've only won 2 games. I'm going to sneeze. Hold on. I'm not going to sneeze. Okay. They've allowed a goal a game and are 2-4. That is ridiculous. And I said this the other day, and I'm going to say it again. The goal scoring is atrocious. The puck handling is atrocious. The shots on net, there's no rebounds. Parsinian basically today was off of a deflection. You know, and it was good that he was in front of the net, but I mean, you don't really see that. You're not getting bodies in front of the net. You're not getting deflections. You're not getting those rebounds. Like Chris Kreider used to basically live in front of the net and just jam home the rebounds all the time. There's nothing of that. There's absolutely nothing. You know, Carrick's been playing well. There's been some players who've been playing really well. The fourth line's been playing well, but it's not enough. And the main lines, Lafreniere, I'm sorry, is a disappointment. Zibanejad, I've talked to Boomer off air today, and he was saying, oh no, Zibanejad's looking good. He just hasn't hit the back of the net yet. Okay, but I think he's looking old. Panarin's looking a little bit old. I keep on saying that because it's the reality. They are not lockstep. They are not elite. Like if you look at Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin in Pittsburgh, they're older. They're like on their way out. I think Malkin's like up to like, I think he's like 37, 38, maybe even a little bit older. Crosby's gotten up there in age too. But they are still elite on the ice. Panarin and Zibanejad are not. And that's frustrating. You know, Malkin could still set things up like he always had. Like, and let's be honest with you, Malkin and Crosby were way better in their prime than Zibanejad and Panarin ever were. There's no doubt about it. That's okay. But even now, they're playing better. And that's a problem because how are you supposed to – and this is what Steve Vallette was saying too. It's like, this is supposed to be one of the top teams in the league. You can't win if you've only scored or you lose and have only given up 6 goals in 6 games and you're 2-4. You can't win that way. That means you're not scoring goals. You can't win in this league if your elite players aren't lighting up the lamp. It's just the truth. And right now they're not. In their 4 losses, they've scored 1 goal. In their 4 losses, they've scored 1 goal. It's a problem. Like, that is a serious problem. You know, and if you go back a little bit further too, like, this game was winnable. The only goal they gave up was a power play goal in regulation. So, like, if it wasn't for the power play, you can't always blame things on a penalty kill because it's tough. You know, with power plays, that's why it's an advantage. That's why it sucks. So they gave a power play goal, but they didn't give up a 5-on-5 at all. They gave up a 3-on-1 as, again, Mika made a bad play. And they basically came down the ice and scored on Shesterkin within 49 seconds into the overtime. It was gross. So there are alarms already with the blue shirts. They've got to fix it soon. And I'm not afraid to trade people. I'm not afraid to change this up. I don't think there's a lot of talent on this team. I really don't. I'm not happy about it, but I really don't. If you're gonna let these younger kids play on the fourth line, okay, fine, but none of them are really spectacular. No one's stepping up. No one's. I know Laba's out there right now. He's getting some ice time. That's great and all, but like, we need somebody to be, you know, take over. Like, remember Chris Kreider in the playoffs a couple years ago? The last time we were in the playoffs, the Rangers, and he basically said something like to the world. He basically told the team. I don't know if he said it out loud or if he just said to himself he's going to do it, but basically told the team he's going to go out there and score a goal. And he had like a hat trick or whatever it was. He basically took control of a game. I forgot who it was against. Maybe it was against the Capitals. Maybe it was a game against the Panthers. I don't remember who it was. But he said he was gonna go and win this one, basically. And he did. He put it on a stick, and he took control. There's nobody like that right now. Not one player on the Rangers could take control. And it's highly disappointing. All right, there will be more conversation about football and about the New York Jets as they are playing a game this weekend. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow on BT and Sal, Boomer and Geo, Evan and Tiki, and Keith McPherson. And then I'm going to be hosting later on at midnight to 5 on Saturday morning, midnight to 5. And then flying out to Denver to go see the Giants and the Broncos. But I do have to say something because I was told by somebody that I screwed up somewhere, and I apologize. Chris McMonagle, I apologize. I did not make the open to this podcast. And if I did, I would have definitely thrown your name in there, and I apologize that you're not in there. I will find a way to get it in there, I promise you, because you are the man, and you are definitely a part of the station. So that being said, I'm sure you are very happy to hear everything that Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman said today. I'm sure that you basically eat up every word that they have to say, and that's okay. I understand that you're an Aaron Boone guy and a Brian Cashman guy, but so am I too. I'm a supporter of them as well. So I'll give it a pass, and as long as you give a pass for the intro. But listen, guys, I'll see you tomorrow on BT and Sal 10 a.m. And then obviously when I host on Saturday morning, midnight to 5 on WFAN. Thank you. And again, please follow me at Hoff WFAN. I'll be back with more WFAN Daily. I will see you guys later. Peace.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.